ice fishing. It comes up in two instances on the Chirp with Darren Millard this week. One, on the pond, fishing. The other one is the trade deadline, ice and fishing for deals. Darren Dreger from TSN runs through all the names and all the teams, and we throw a hook in the water on the Chirp with Darren Millard next.
Boys, I'm Mike today. Just let everyone know, don't say anything stupid.
That's a disgrace! That's a disgrace! What a joke!
Heads up! Oh, how'd that feel, old man?
Hit him, light him up,
Yeah, nice hit!
That's solid.
It's my favorite time of the year. I'm not sure that it's Darren Dreger's most fascinating time of the year, given all the trade scuttlebutt that he has to follow in and around the National Hockey League. But now that I'm not on the air for those 18 hours every day on trade deadline day, it becomes quite enjoyable. I sit back with my coffee and watch you. Are you ready for this thing?
No, I'm never ready for it. And I was going to follow that up and say, well, you must enjoy it now because you're not invested and you're not trying to follow our lead for 18 straight hours.
Oh, there's a shot across the mouth. I will say this. The first time I ever got to watch you guys was when I moved to Vegas because yeah. I wasn't on the air. I never really got to watch you get James and everybody do their thing.
Yeah. Well, every year, Duthie and I go back and forth, right? And you know, we're all invested to a point, but I appreciate, you know, where he's at. And you as a host would understand this as well. You know, you guys are steering the ship here. And the insiders are sitting in the back desk, and sometimes there's not a lot going on. But you still have to find a way to fill all that airtime. So James has become, several years ago, kind of expert at the nonsense and the entertainment and the llamas in the parking lot and all the garbage that goes along with that. But I've kind of softened as I've gotten older where I'm like, all right, why do I keep pushing back at this? It's not like this is hard hitting journalism here. Like we're breaking hockey trades or trying to, and then analyzing hockey deals. And the more that he does on the entertainment side, the less they come to us on camera with the expected news. So, as I said, I've softened over the years.
What's your game of choice during trade deadline day when things are slow on the app?
Nah, there's no games being played. I know it looks that way. I will say this, though, full admission, I have been phantom typing on occasion, right? When Duthie's looking over his shoulder and you know, he's like, geez, we'd like to go to the trade breakers because there's got to be something brewing. And we're all sitting like, you know, the iPhone to the nose tapping away, but not necessarily tapping away at anything that matters. Have done that on occasion just for TV purposes.
Is this whole thing about scratching players for trade-related purposes getting under your skin, or yeah, does it help things?
Well, it gives us more to talk about. It doesn't matter if it gets under my skin. I know it gets under the skin of some general managers, right? Especially those who are maybe on the playoff line, outside or inside, and you know they're ready to take on a Columbus Blue Jackets team, or they're watching a team that they're competing in a playoff spot for play the Columbus Blue Jackets or the Arizona Coyotes, or any other team now that has found it fashionable to do this. It used to be when you'd get to almost where we're at now, we're a week outside the trade deadline. I think that's where you'd see more of it for trade-related reasons. But normally you'd see then what we saw between Washington and the Boston Bruins. These guys are out of the lineup. Boom, there it is. There's a trade, and everybody moves on. You analyze the deal. You know, to make sense of what the Coyotes have done with Chychrun, or to a degree what Columbus has done with Gavrikov, I get it, but I don't get it. And I'm actually a bit surprised. I've gone back and forth with head office on this a couple of different ways. It's comparing apples to oranges. It's not the same, but you know, and I know how seriously the National Hockey League takes any sort of injury shenanigans. And you want to go back to Nikita Kucherov, everybody still talks about that, right? And how he magically was ready to go in the playoffs. Well, do we honestly think the NHL didn't monitor that day by day? Of course they did. I mean, league medical people talked with Lightning medical people all the time to make sure this was on the up and up. So this is where the oranges come in and try and compare to the apples. I'm a bit surprised the NHL doesn't step forward and say, hey, you know, you're obligated to put your best lineup on the ice. Now, there's a window that we can appreciate that's closing in on the trade deadline where you want to protect the asset. I get all that, but how many games has Chychrun been sitting now? Quite a few. And likewise for Gavrikov. Yet the message that I get back, and I understand it, doesn't mean I have to agree with it or managers have to agree with it, is that, hey, no, I mean, these are contracts that belong to the clubs and the clubs can manage those contracts as they see fit. But I'll tell you this, and I've been to more than a few general managers meetings in my lifetime. Guess what we're talking about next month in Florida?
Guaranteed.
Yeah. For sure. And look, even if I have to make it up because it's a slow day, I'm going to get two or three managers on side who want this to be a topic. So anyway, it gives us something to kind of push forward into some drier meeting times, perhaps in March.
Well, what's the difference between a healthy scratch and trade-related reasons? There's a fine line there. And
yeah,
the other part is if a team increases its odds for Connor Bedard because they don't play a player for 8 games, that's huge.
It's 100% huge. And it has to be a big part of the reasoning behind doing it. You know, again, we're pinpointing these two organizations because Arizona and Columbus have used this tactic for the longest stretch here.
Yeah.
Both those teams, obviously, by way of the standings, are in the Connor Bedard sweepstakes. And that rankles other managers as well. But what are you going to do about it? I mean, again, the NHL is in a tough spot with this. It feels like if this is the price that has to be paid for Jake Chychrun finally to get traded, then you know what? I'm okay with it because I've grown pretty weary of talking about all the speculation around Jake Chychrun for the last 16, 18 months. It's time.
I want to go through some individual names with you, and let's start with Jacob. Do you think he does get dealt this time? Because there's been other windows where we thought for sure he was gone, and it hasn't happened.
Week ago, I'd have said yes. Now I'm on the fence. I'm not so sure, and I know that's not an answer, but I just...
No, that's an answer coming from you. If you're not sure, then that's speculation.
Well, but honestly, Darren, I can sympathize with the position of Billy Armstrong and the Arizona Coyotes because of the player that Chychrun is and because of the contract that he has. And, you know, again, you go back well past a year. And the reason we're even having this conversation is because Chychrun, understandably, didn't want to have to go through another rebuild with the Arizona Coyotes. So you go through how many trade offers that have been made on this player? Too many to count, I'm sure. And then you get a willingness from Bill Armstrong and the Coyotes to maybe get a bit more creative around the draft. Not necessarily soften their position on the ask, get a bit more creative. And then you fast forward to where we're at today. And every manager that I talk to says the same thing. I'm not giving up the pieces that Armstrong and Arizona feel that they need to make this trade. And these are teams that need Jake Chychrun. They need a piece like Jake Chychrun. So that's why I'm not convinced. And those close to Chychrun say, look, this is going to come right down to the wire. What you hope for, and I'm not hoping for injury, I'm hoping that one of these trades that have already happened, again, I'm thinking back in the most recent, and that's Washington and Boston. Is there a team out there that now looks at Boston and goes, they don't have any holes in that lineup? And Dmitry Orlov made them that much better on the back end. And Garnet Hathaway's a nasty bit of business in their bottom six. We need to respond. We've got to do something. And you finally execute and pay the price. That feels like the only way that Chychrun gets dealt at this point.
How about Patrick Kane?
Well, are you able to edit this at some point as soon as it's posted? Because it could come down to that. I'm not kidding. I mean, you know, look, everybody we talk to, and you know who we talk to. I mean, you know, it's not Joe Schmo on the street corner here. We're plugged into this world. Tell us the same thing, and that's waiting for Patrick Kane to make his decision. Does he want to be traded? And so if the answer to that is yes, then you quickly shift over. All right, well, there's a number of teams, as you would expect, interested in Patrick Kane. Why wouldn't you be, even though the health is a concern, based on the way he's poured the puck in the net and helped the Chicago Blackhawks? I'll repeat myself. Why wouldn't you be interested in everything that he brings, including the history of a Stanley Cup champion 3 times? He has to make that call. And then he's got to say, all right, well, here are the three teams. And chances are it'll be, here's the team, one team I want to go to. And then it gets more complicated. But hey, you know, as of yesterday, on the fence, and there's reason to believe that he could simply say, nah, I'm just going to shut it down. I'm going to get my hip fixed and I'm going to try and get healthy for the offseason. It feels like he's got enough left in the tank that he's going to continue to battle through, right? But until he gives Kyle Davidson and Pat Brisson the green light, which wasn't the case as of earlier this morning, then we're all kind of going to wait and see here.
Okay, his reaction after the Rangers acquired Tarasenko told me that he had already made his decision. I'm having trouble believing that he hasn't bought into a deal.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I am. And look, I also know that the injury is real, but it's not hampering him. Clearly, it's not.
I watched him the other night in Chicago. It was amazing.
I mean, those with a sharper eye or say they have a sharper eye than you and I will go, no, we can see there's a bit of labor in his game. Yeah, sure. He's got 10 points in four games. What happens when, you know, he gets to 80%? Like, what's that going to look like? But he has to get to that place where, you know, he's willing to define the call. I know that Chicago and Manny were hopeful he was going to do it earlier in the week. And he just felt like he needed more time. So to be determined on Patty Kane.
Did you see the breakaway shot that didn't actually count against Vegas right at the end of overtime? And then the shootout, he did the same thing with the big clapper. That reminded me of you in a shootout. Down with a big clapper.
I thought you were going to say, find another comparison, me toe-picking at the hash marks or something like that.
No.
That might be more appropriate.
Well, I was watching you operate the snowblower yesterday on Instagram. How about you?
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? I mean, you know this because you're from Western Canada. I mean, you do what you have to do. And the bug still bites every once in a while. And if I could have a tractor, I would have a tractor. I don't. I can't. And this is the closest thing to. But again, I'm getting a bit surly as I get older. And what was getting under my skin yesterday, and it's just the season. It's sleep deprivation. It's too much caffeine. It's everything, right? I'm edgy. And I'm looking around at all my poor neighbors, you know, many of them elderly, and, you know, they've got private services and these guys aren't showing up and they're not showing up and they're not showing up. And some of these poor people need to get out. They need, you know, medical services, all of this. I did, and I'm not complaining. I'm complaining about the snow removal process. I did at least four neighbors yesterday. And in the meantime, I'm shutting this thing down. At one point, one of the younger neighbors, he's looking for help. My phone is buzzing. I literally just said to him, come and get the machine. So he came and got my snowblower and took it to his yard and our driveway and did two or three others. So anyway, it was a nice reprieve. It was therapeutic.
Did you post anything while you were snowblowing?
No.
That would be really cool. Yeah. Like if you tweeted something out news related while you were in the middle of snowblowing.
Yeah. Nah, you know what? I just watched Kevin Weeks. He seems to have everything, so I don't need to get too involved anymore.
That is beautiful. Eric Carlson.
Yeah. You know, again, a complicated one, right? And I've tried to twist my tiny little brain into why it makes sense. I understand it from a buying standpoint. You know, if you're Kenny Holland and the Edmonton Oilers who have circled that wagon 2-3 times, why wouldn't you, right? You start at top of class, which is, you know, the Norris favorite, and then work your way down the ladder from there. So here's where the other side of my brain clicks in. I'm thinking, if I'm the owner of the San Jose Sharks, why am I doing this? Like, why am I retaining any amount of money? You know, 40, 50%, whatever the Oilers would need to make that deal. Why would you do that? I mean, this guy is lights out good, having a wonderful season. And as you know, Darren, you get into the offseason, the game changes entirely because now it's not a captivated group of teams, mostly playoff teams, obviously, that are interested. It's a lot of different teams. So maybe there are more family options for Eric and his family to consider that make more sense. There's certainly more financial flexibility in the offseason. And we don't know what the salary cap is going to look like. Is it going to stay flat, as the commissioner keeps telling us? you know, could the Players Association find a way to negotiate a higher bump at $2-3 million? There's lots of questions that could be answered in the summer that aren't being answered, can't be answered right now. So I guess the owner maybe backs off a little bit if somebody through desperation makes that offer that Mike Greer just can't refuse. And then you have to take it to Eric and say, what do you think? And then you go from there. But this one feels like a bit of a long shot to me.
I wouldn't take more than 20% on to retain salary. 40% is a great player. That's a lot of cash.
Well, and again, NHL owners are savvy, shrewd businessmen. I mean, you know, these teams just didn't fall in their laps, right? And even a few million, and it would be more than a few million, but even a few million to a business person, when you're paying for a player that no longer is on your team, hurts your feelings from a business standpoint. It does. So I'm just not sold on it getting done. And look, I got all the time in the world for Mike Greer. I think he is one of the sharpest young NHL general managers going. How full is his plate with Erik Karlsson and Timo Meier and go down the list? He's got a lot of balls in the air right now.
Timo Meier end up in the East?
Well, yeah. I mean, if Tom Fitzgerald has anything to say about it, and I think that there's been a hot and cold approach by Donnie Waddell and the Carolina Hurricanes here, but I just feel like if Carolina doesn't land something of significance, this is a miss for that organization. And you've got a hungry owner there who, you know, he's become pretty sharp in terms of understanding everything that goes into the world of hockey. But as like most owners, I think his line of patience is relatively thin. So
this might be a little thinner.
Yeah, a little bit thinner. So, I mean, those are two teams, obviously, that we know that have expressed a fair amount of interest. The St. Louis thing was intriguing to me. And I know St. Louis made a hard offer. An offer that most people would go, I mean, how do you walk away from that? Mm-hmm. But, you know, maybe Doug Armstrong now, given what we heard from Craig Berube post-game last night, holy smokes, did he light into the lads there. You know, maybe Armstrong has a different kind of approach or look at it at this standpoint. So long-winded way of saying, I do think he ends up in the East. And Tom Fitzgerald and the New Jersey Devils have seemingly been the front runner. And I think that Fitzy wants to be there right at the end. So get your best deal, San Jose. Don't shop it, but get your best deal. But before you close on that deal, come back to the New Jersey Devils one more time. That feels like the play for me.
Could Carolina or New Jersey be in it on Kane at all? I know Patrick has the final say on that, but
I think they could be. And no different than any other player out there. You have to have those conversations, don't you? To your point, how do you know what Patty Kane is actually thinking? Just because social media and media in general have targeted the New York Rangers and feel like it's got to happen doesn't mean that becomes reality. Maybe there is an option presented to Patrick Kane that he goes, okay, yeah, you know, that makes some sense. I know some people there. I know some players. I'll get the feedback and away we go. I think you have to have those conversations. And look, there's been rumblings about the Edmonton Oilers and Patrick Kane for a while as well. That doesn't seem like a fit to me. I say that, and you know, then you think of what Patty Kane would look like, you know, in that top six, and it would be pretty special, I would say. But it feels more like a fallback because, as we've already talked about, the Oilers definitely need a defense. So I'm not closing the door on any possibilities with Patrick Kane. The Ranger thing makes some sense.
So much, yeah.
For it does, until, as two managers pointed out this morning, and neither one of them has the wherewithal to get in on Patrick Kane, even if you get guys retaining salary. So, you know, Billy Guerin has created this trend, right, where, you know, he chews 25% of salary retention. You know, the other teams eat up the other 50%, and the team that actually lands the player now is only on the hook for 25%. So that's what Chris Drury and the New York Rangers would have to do. But I, on top of that, I think they'd still have to give up a decent enough roster player just to make the money work. So it's complicated, but there's always a way.
What's Billy G doing? Like, what's he up to? I can't put my finger on it.
Yeah. He'd like to add a forward. I know that. You know, I think he's finding it real difficult to close on some trades. He's a gunslinger, man. I just love the way Billy Guerin approaches things. And he learned from one of the best, and that's Jimmy Rutherford and their time spent in Pittsburgh. You know, if you're waiting for a deal to get better, then you're going to miss out. You know, that's kind of the philosophy. And, you know, if you have a need and here's an opportunity to fill that need, what are you waiting for? Do it. But unfortunately, not all general managers have the luxury of feeling and looking at things that way. But Billy would like to be active. And then he's got a piece that, you know, we know is also attractive to the trade market, and that's Matt Dumba. What does he do there? I remember Dave Nonis, and I think he coined this phrase, but back in his days as general manager in Toronto, and I think it was Tyler Bozak, where they were uncertain, contract was up, you know, do they trade him or what do they do? And they ended up holding him, you know, just because they felt like he was more valuable to them in their playoff run than he was, you know, on the trade market, and he deemed him an own rental. That's always stuck with me because it can be applied, and I think it might be applied here to Matt Dumba in Minnesota, because, you know, look, the Wild are trying to lock down a playoff spot here, and if Guerin moves Matt Dumba, how is he replacing Matt Dumba in this push? So he'll do something. He's always up to something. We know that. He's going to do something. I just don't know how big it's going to be.
What's Calgary going to do? Because there's a lot of stuff swirling around the Flames.
Just messy, you know, and I feel bad for Brad Treliving. You know, talk about a savvy veteran, but he has worked so hard to get this team to a place where they should be so much better. Mm-hmm. You know, he dealt with a tough hand in the offseason. Obviously, Johnny Gaudreau picks free agents. He goes to Columbus. Then he's got to deal with the Matthew Tkachuk scenario. You know, does an incredible job in, you know, making the deal that he did with Huberto and Uyghur coming out of Florida, signs Nazem Kadri. I don't know about you. I thought that Calgary was, they were going to be a force in the West. Yeah. I really, truly did.
I keep waiting for it to happen. They played a little bit better lately, and then they blew a lead last night.
No good last night. Night before, they loved the way they dominated that game and competed. And that's where it brings us back to Treliving and how tricky it is. We know that he likes to make deals. He's proven that. We know that he's in every trade conversation. He is. That's the way he operates. But I think that there's a feeling of, well, I need to see more from this team right now. I need to prove that the investment that I'm going to take to ownership is going to be an investment that is worth making in this group, because I'm not seeing it right now. And he's not seeing it from the crease out. Again, I'm surprised at a bunch of different things there. You know, you've had the Daryl Sutter, Jonathan Huberto thing. That's pretty obvious, you know, based on some of the messaging from Alan Walsh, et cetera, on social media. But the goaltending for me is as perplexing as anything that's gone on with the Calgary Flames. So he's got a bit of time, but not a whole lot of time to figure it out. But I'd be surprised if they do anything splashy.
Winnipeg, Dallas, Vegas, all in great situations. Who makes the biggest splash, do you think? Who's kicking the most tires?
Well, I'm never going to bet against Kelly McCrimmon ever. And I mean, he's proven that how many times as general manager of the Vegas Golden Knights. And now he has the wherewithal, and we know he has the need. I mean, you know, before it was fully established what was going on with Mark Stone, as you know, there was an appetite to add a forward. So now you've got the Stone situation. Shrewd move to get the Weber contract out of there, now property of the Arizona Coyotes. So he has some flexibility. That doesn't mean that the Vegas Golden Knights are going to invest everything they have into this trade deadline. I mean, the Weber move gives them options both at the deadline and into the offseason as well. But Kelly just finds a way. As creative a GM as there is in the business. Winnipeg, Chevy's more conservative. We know this. But he too has the flexibility. And, you know, they had opportunity to put players on long-term injury when they went through their rash of injuries and didn't do it and accrued a mammoth amount of cap space. I think Chevy's open to just about anything, adding a forward, adding defense, adding both. But, you know, Winnipeg, for whatever reason, is always a bit of a challenge, especially when it comes to players with no trades, et cetera.
When you talk about sleepers and contenders, Tampa Bay is right there. We haven't seen much there, but their season is one of the best of the season.
It is. And we've seen enough from Julian to know that he's always got an ace up his sleeve. And, you know, every time we poke around the Tampa Bay Lightning, we kind of get the same response. It's like the fishing emoji, right? It's just, and that cuts both ways. You're fishing and we're fishing, right? Yeah. So he's going to do something, but I want to back up just a hair here because you also mentioned Dallas.
Yeah.
And I think Dallas could be the sleeper team for Pat Kane. I know that Dallas is interested in Patrick Kane. The Dallas Stars have been looking for a forward for a long, long time. They really have been. They need to start playing better, though. They're going through a bit of a funky situation here, but that isn't going to squash the appetite of Jimmy Neal and ownership in Dallas. But again, comes back to, you know, whether or not Kane would consider Dallas. But Darren, when you look at, okay, the acquisition cost here, I know Dallas doesn't want to have to give up a first round draft pick. Take a look at their prospect pool in Dallas. It might be the best in the National Hockey League. So I'm sure Kyle Davidson would love to do business with Dallas, but that's up to Patrick Kane.
Is this the time where you tell me that you taught me everything that I know?
Yeah, no, not really.
I usually get to it at some point, perhaps.
I just, you know, I've mellowed over time. I think I feel like I took my cheap shot at you early in suggesting that you were always playing catch up back in your days of network TV. So that might be the one shot I take of you today. But now I could say that I taught you everything I know, but that's not true. You deserve credit for everything that you've worked for to this point in your career.
You have mellowed. What's going on?
I know. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. Empty nester, both kids are out. So, yeah, it's just a kinder, gentler me.
When you're on the deadline day and the desk, do you look at your cottage back on the Manitoba-Saskatchewan border and just dream of that and say, I'm going to get there?
Yeah, no, I don't, because there's so much more ahead, right? I mean, you know, the deadline is incredibly stressful and takes months off our lives when you're invested in it the way that we are.
Yeah.
But then you realize when you look at it through the lens of a fan, it's not that big of a deal. It might be a big deal because, you know, you have a specific team that you're rooting for, but beyond that, it's so fleeting. And then you look ahead and you go, okay, well, I got the GM meetings, that's coming up. I've got this many games on the panel. I got to get through that. Oh, and then by the way, there's the playoffs. And then after that, you've got the draft and you've got free agency. You've got everything else. So I don't tease myself with that sort of nonsense.
Oh, it feels like September, the way you analyze it and size it up. You got a long road ahead.
Well, look, I was just at the cottage. We call it a cabbage, by the way, because as you know, Western Canada, they're called cabins, right? Yeah. So out here, it's a cottage. So we just put the two words together. We call it the cabbage. And it's been decorated that way with a cabbage sign and all of those things.
Yeah. What's the name of your cabbage? Like everybody's got a name.
That's its name, the cabbage.
The cabbage, okay.
Yeah. So we were there in February during All-Star. And what a mistake that was, because we were only there for like 4 days. And you know, it's not easy to get there. Like you fly to Winnipeg or you fly to Regina and then you've got a 3 or 4 hour drive ahead of you. And all it did was, okay, so I relaxed for about 8 hours, right? Because you got friends and family trying to get a flash visit in. And I just said to Holly, I'm not doing that again, because it was poking the bear. I didn't like it. Kind of made me angry.
Did you ice fish?
I did go ice fishing.
That's the stupidest sport ever.
No, it isn't. Well, I kind of, look,
it's the stupidest sport.
Well, it's slow moving, but my nephew's got this pimped out shack right in front of my cabin, by the way. And he had like a 40 inch TV screen up in the rafters of this fishing hut and had a HD camera that went into the hole, into the water. So you could literally see the fish swimming up to your bait. It was ridiculous. And we caught one fish in like 4 hours. So
need a better camera, obviously.
Yeah. No, it was frustrating because the fish would literally poke the bait with its face, its mouth, and wouldn't take it. So anyway, told a lot
sitting
of stories.
Out on the ice for 8 hours watching a fish poke bait. That's the stupidest activity ever.
Well, and what drove me crazy was I had no cell service in this fish hut. Zero bars, no connection at all for like 3.5 hours.
Before I let you go, I want to tell you, now that I'm not on the desk doing all that stuff, people tell me way more. Like, they know I'm not going to use it for anything. They tell me way more.
Well, why aren't you sharing with me?
I was just about to tell you that I'm going to start flipping this stuff to you. Even if it's insignificant, I'm going to start flipping it to you because I don't want you to chase your tail, but I'm going to start doing that.
I say the same thing to every manager, every source. Deadline day, there's no such thing as insignificant. You got an AHL trade I want to know about.
Love it. Who was the former Wheat King that we got the first trade of the day the one time?
Sven Butenschon.
There we are. Sven Butenschon for 4 hours.
6'10" Sven. That was what changed everything because that was when everybody went on the air a bit later, but yeah. The Butenschon trade happened. And then both networks said, we got to get onto this earlier. Sven's fault.
We should get t-shirts made. Double D, thanks, Gus.
All right, buddy. Thanks for having me.
I call him Gus. I believe it was an uncle that he was named after or is nicknamed after. And I've always called him Gus because Dreger was my boss when I was 21 years old in Brandon. We were the play-by-play broadcast team of the Brandon Wheat Kings, and then we've been inseparable throughout the years. So this is the longest we've ever been apart geographically for a long time. So appreciate it, Double D, and have a great day on trade deadline day. We'll be following. Check him out on the Ray and Dregs podcast as well. They do some fun stuff. Ray's been part of the Chirp in the past. A couple of names that I want to bring up. All right. Names that aren't necessarily getting a lot of attention. Max Domi is someone that should be talked about more. $3 million in the cap hit, leading the Chicago Blackhawks in points, goals, and penalty minutes. He covers up a lot of areas, and I'm a big fan. So talk about Max Domi and follow up. Yunus Korpisalo of the Columbus Blue Jackets. Numbers aren't great, but he's played a lot better since mid-December. Kevin Woodley from NHL.com telling me all about that on In Goal Radio. Korpisalo is a guy that if you dive a little bit deeper, could really help you in goal. Los Angeles, what's happening there? A year ago, I didn't expect much at the deadline because I thought they were ahead of schedule, but the additions that they've made and now they can score, what do they do to boost their chances in a wide open Western Conference? And in the East, we had Derek Lalonde, and he is so great and so forthcoming with the Red Wings and what they're doing. He's got them in contention right now. I didn't expect this. So do they add Steve Yzerman, general manager, savvy? You don't hear anything about Detroit because Steve doesn't let anything get out of Detroit. He could loosen up the thread a little bit with that, but what do they do to bring people in to improve their playoff chances? And what do they do with Tyler Bertuzzi and Dylan Larkin? Those are questions. So on both sides of the fence with the Detroit Red Wings. And if you have a chance, go back. Recent episode with Derek Lalonde and Seth Jarvis a week ago. Both were fun interviews and they're timeless. Really, it doesn't matter whether you listen to it in 6 months from now or today or last week. It's awesome stuff. And it's Derek Lalonde. No D. You don't say the D or else his great aunt is going to be really sour with you and she will find you and she will tell you. Have fun. Looking forward to the next week because so much is going to happen. The answers that we will get on all fronts, and hopefully this episode lasts more than 5 minutes before it's outdated. I'm not sure that we'll get to the 5 minutes, but I'm hopeful. Thanks to Bob Bender for making this happen, producer Bob with the NHL, and looking forward to chatting with you on the lead up to trade deadline and what will happen.